Any comments on the sort of method of administration, side effects, toxicities, and how you modified over time the way the treatment was given?
Yep, the cells are collected by leukapheresis of the patient. They're infected with this lentivirus, and then they're cultured in the laboratory where they're expanded. That process takes about 2 to 2.5 weeks. Cells are frozen, and the patients then come in as an outpatient to get the infusion. When we first started the clinical trials, we were somewhat concerned about infusional toxicities, and we designed the trial where we would give the total dose over 3 days. We gave 10% on the first day, 30% on the second day, and 60% on the third day. We really had no significant infusional toxicity. The infusion was very straightforward. We had a couple patients with low-grade fevers, but really no major reaction. All of the patients that we treated went on to have a major reaction several days later. Between about 4 and 20 days later, they have what we refer to as a cytokine release syndrome, but that was a delayed phenomenon. And I think we've learned over time that the infusion itself is quite straightforward. And in fact, in our current clinical trials, we are doing a single-day infusion of the entire dose.
Now, are you still continuing to see these delayed cytokine release syndromes? And what do you actually see clinically, and how do you prevent and manage it?
We do see these delayed cytokine release syndromes. Just about every patient who responds develops this cytokine reaction. The cytokine release syndrome is like a very, very severe flu-like syndrome, though saying a flu-like syndrome somewhat trivializes it. It usually starts with a prelude of fevers. There's usually several days of febrile episodes. Patients are evaluated very carefully to make sure they're not infected. But in most cases, it lasts for 2, 3, 4 days, and the fevers escalate and can become, in fact, quite high. We've had patients with fevers as high as 104, 105, and even higher. It's associated with nausea, anorexia, in some cases, quite severe myalgias and arthralgias. As it progresses over time, we've had patients even become hypotensive and develop a capillary leak and develop hypoxia, and it really can be quite severe to the point of having to be cared for in an ICU setting. One of the things that we learned very early on was that the cytokine release syndrome was somewhat unexpectedly associated with very high levels of interleukin-6. IL-6 is an inflammatory cytokine. It's seen in certain other disease processes. And in fact, it tends to be important and elevated in patients with rheumatoid arthritis. In one of the first, in fact, pediatric patients that was treated at Children's Hospital with ALL, she had become very critically ill, was hypotensive, was hypoxic, was on maximal life support. And this was the first time we had noted these interleukin-6 levels come back extraordinarily elevated. We reasoned that we would treat these cytokine release syndrome with steroids, but I will say, at least over the first few hours, steroids had little impact on this clinical course.